It's time to go to the movies with Matt Olien, and this week, Matt, you went to a sequel of a very popular horror movie from decades ago.
Yeah, a long after sequel, and I'll get to that in a few minutes as to why that may have hindered the box office. We're not sure. That's kind of the story within the story. Dr. Sleep, written by Stephen King, sequel to The Shining. Many years later, if you've seen the trailer, you know the plot. Danny Torrance is all grown up. The little boy from The Shining who, you know, had visions and could see things and had certain powers, you know, driving around the Overlook Hotel on his little big wheel in the Stanley Kubrick 1980 film. He's grown up. He's played by Ewan McGregor, who's about the same age. That's a good casting here. As about the same age that Danny would be the boy in the film, in the Kubrick film. But he has a lot of issues from his grown-up times as to what happened at the Overlook. You know, his father freezing to death in the maze, Jack Nicholson. He's an alcoholic. He struggles with a lot of things. So he's kind of a guy in search of something, but he's not sure what. And that something happens in the form of a cult group of people that are immortal or try to be immortal called the True Knot. That's K-N-O-T, the True Knot. And they're led by a marvelous villain called Rose the Hat, played by Rebecca Ferguson, and she almost steals this movie. She is a really good villain. She's creepy. She's scary. But like all good villains, Doug, she sort of sucks people in with her charisma, and that's what makes an interesting villain, and she is truly the villain. They need to survive, Doug, based on feeding off of young kids who have the Shining gift. So they seek out these kids, and then they dispose of them. They do with them what they will, and they gain powers by kind of breathing the pain that comes out of them. That's the best way I can describe it. There are some horrifying scenes. This is R-rated. Don't take the kids to this. I like this film in general. Mike Flanagan, the director, I do know him. I want to put that out there to people. I've met him twice at the Fargo Film Festival. He's become a big deal now in the horror genre.
He wrote the screenplay.
He wrote the screenplay. He edited the film. He directed the film. He is a former student of Tom Brando. So Mike does a good job of, I think, serving both masters, Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick, with this film. As you know, Doug, Stephen King famously hated the movie of The Shining.
Yes.
Yeah, the ending was changed by Kubrick. I also have a theory that there is some professional jealousy maybe going on here because Kubrick put his fingerprints on that movie. It became a Stanley Kubrick movie, not a Stephen King novel. And maybe King has some jealousy to that. I don't know. You know, Kubrick was an auteur. But what Flanagan does very well here is he serves King, the novelist, and he also serves Kubrick. There are many homages to Kubrick's film in this film. Long, slow dissolves, just like we had in the original. High arcing crane shots, overhead shots of cars driving, like we had in the original. The film score, very Kubrickian in nature. So there are homages to Kubrick, and Flanagan is a huge Kubrick fan. So I think he really towed the line between being faithful to Stephen King and also paying tribute to Kubrick's film. What also helps this film is a phenomenal performance by a little girl named Kylie Curran who plays Abra. She has very similar powers to Danny Torrance, and she's able to contact him. And that's really where the film drives from there, is that he finds his purpose in life is to help this little girl defeat the True Knot. And that's where the plot gets very, very interesting.
Does Red Rum show up?
Oh, yes. Red Rum shows up. The film is a tad long. I will say that at 2.5 hours, there was a lot of exposition at the beginning because you're going back. You have to explain things for people that haven't seen The Shining. This is a 39 years later sequel to a film. Kubrick fans will be very happy with a third act. That's all I will say about that. But as you can tell from the trailer, there's a shot of Ewan McGregor looking through the hole in the door where Jack Nicholson famously, you know, axed it and said, here's Johnny. So we do know that the Overlook Hotel is a character in this film that will emerge at some point.
Does the furnace come back too?
You'll have to go and see. Some really good scenes in Alcoholics Anonymous too. They have some really good scenes there where he's going through his rehab. Bruce Greenwood plays the leader of that group. Those are some good scenes as well. As I said, the film is maybe a tad long, but I did like it. The story within the story is why it only made $14 million at the box office over the weekend. This is one of those things that's baffling. a lot of times I have an answer for why a film is good, why it's not, why it made money. This one is baffling. They were hoping for 25 to 30 million, and it did 14. A couple reasons, maybe. The sequel comes so long after The Shining. That could be what's going on. It might have been released at a bad weekend, Veterans Day weekend. I'm not sure what's going on here because the film is good. It's not great, but it's good. It's a solid piece of filmmaking by Flanagan. It's terrifying in parts. He gets a good performance out of Ewan McGregor, gets a great performance out of Rebecca Ferguson and Kylie Curran. So this is baffling, and it's got Hollywood nervous. Why a film like this, with all the credentials, and a lot of people have seen The Shining. They have seen that movie. It's a film that people are familiar with. It's a Kubrick film, and I just don't understand why. And it was heavily promoted. I mean, I saw trailers to this for 3 months.
Yes.
It's very baffling. I don't know if the length hurt it or the length of time between the sequel and the original. We're not sure.
Well, the entertainment industry pundits will be pondering that, and I guess that is intriguing that you mentioned it.
But as always, Doug, if a film doesn't make money, it doesn't mean it's not good. I think it's a solid piece of filmmaking, maybe not quite as good as Midsommar this year, which is another great horror film. But again, it continues a great year for horror films.
All right. Well, it's time for Oscar trivia. Last week, I asked a question that I thought would baffle you, but I'd actually asked it before.
Okay.
That's how, I really do try to stump you.
I know you do.
So I went online today, and I think I found one that might stump you.
Oh, boy.
Let's just try this one out. Which Best Actress in a Supporting Role winner had the least amount of screen time in the winning role?
Beatrice Straight in Network.
Oh, that took a long time.
1976.
How long was she on?
She has a one-scene screaming fest where she screams at William Holden, basically, who plays her husband.
5 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yep.
We've been to the movies with Matt O'Lean.